Good morning, everybody. Today I would like to talk with you about a randomized controlled trial that my colleagues at the Health Promotion Research Center and the American Cancer Society co-developed. It's called ACS Workplace Solutions. What I'd like to do is describe this intervention to you and then tell you about the randomized trial we did to test its effectiveness. I'll share the results with you, and then I'll go through some lessons that we learned from this and implications for our future work. This is a logic model of how we hope this intervention works. And if you look at the column that says employer practices, you'll really see the focus of this intervention. With this approach, we're not really working one-on-one with employees so much as working with the employer to try to change things about the worksite. So we drew best practices mostly from the CDC's Guide to Community Preventive Services. We attempt to help employers change their insurance benefits, health-related policies, health-related programs, communications, and also tracking anonymously employee health behaviors to see if they're having any impact. And then the hope, because these are evidence-based approaches, is that they are going to help employees engage in healthier behaviors. And the things that we were interested in were decreased tobacco use, improved nutrition and physical activity, and increased use of preventive care. And as our partners on this are the Cancer Society, there's a big emphasis on age and gender-appropriate screening for breast, cervical, and colorectal cancer within that preventive care nest. And then, ideally, both employers and employees are going to have outcomes that they're happy with. Employees will be healthier, hopefully their productivity will be higher, and employers will have controlled healthcare costs. Those best practices that I showed you on the logic model are a little abstract, so let me give you concrete examples of some of the things we tried to do. An example of benefits would be trying to remove all copays for cancer screening and tobacco cessation treatment. An example of a policy would be taking a workplace entirely smoke-free. For programs, we tried to help them implement evidence-based weight control or physical activity programs that workers can sign up for. For tracking, we tried to work with them to see if they could anonymously survey their employees' health behaviors. And examples of communications would be signage in the workplace or monthly newsletters containing information about tips. And in the trial that I'll describe, we had a suite of 17 of these practices. So how do you do that? Our approach is really an academic detailing approach. And the first thing we would do after an employer said they wanted to participate in this intervention is give them an assessment survey. So we would basically assess where they were on each of those 17 best practices. And this also serves as our main outcome measure. We use this first time as our baseline data, and we come back later and do it again. After the initial survey, we and the interventionist take their responses and create a tailored recommendations report, and we come back for a second meeting with the employer to present this. This is always a fun meeting because we show them what they're currently doing, and then we compare it and do a gap analysis with the best practices we recommend. What most employers get out of this meeting is that of everything we recommend, they're doing maybe four or five things, and they have a list of 10 or 12 recommendations. This is too much to ask anybody to take on at once, and not every best practice fits well for every employer. So we encourage them at the end of this meeting to think about what we've discussed and to choose 3 to 5 recommendations to implement over the next year. Once they've done that, we come back for a final meeting with the employer and we give them what we call solution sets. And these are toolkits that help them implement the best practices and that give them some options and resources. So for benefits, these toolkits might include sample contract language they can hand to their broker, estimated costs. For programs, we might give them vendor lists and try to work with them to get things in place. And for policy-related best practices, a toolkit would include, among other things, a sample policy and a guide to creating and implementing a new policy. We had pilot tested this with 8 really large employers in the Pacific Northwest. So each of these employers had well over 5,000 employees. One had over 100,000. And they were all self-insured. And we were reasonably pleased with what we found. We found that implementation was pretty low at baseline, under 40%. And about a year after we had gone through the process I just described to you with them, it had improved to 61%. So there was still room to grow even after that, but we were happy with finding more than a 20% increase in implementation. For the trial that I'll spend most of the time today talking about, we wanted to work with a very different group of employers. So we recruited smaller employers for this trial, between 100 and 1,000 employees. We wanted to look at a slightly lower wage group of industries. You might think $50,000 a year earning less than that doesn't make you low wage, but we are based in Seattle and King County, and that actually is below the median wage in the area where we were doing this trial. And because of the benefits component, we did require that people offer health insurance to at least their full-time employees and that their headquarters be located in King County so we could work with them. Because we've learned that if you want to modify things like benefits and policies, that you can't really do it very easily at the site level. Our design was a very simple two-group randomized design. So our intervention work sites received the intervention, and we actually added a step. We came back 6 months after the solution set meeting to check in with them. And to ask them some questions about how it was going. And we collected our follow-up data 15 months after the start of the intervention, and then the control group was offered workplace solutions after we received their follow-up data. And other than that, they really didn't hear from us during the primary intervention period. We recruited 48 workplaces like this for this study, and we were able to keep 46 of them through follow-up data collection. We felt like we were pretty successful in recruiting the kinds of companies that we were after, as you can see from the list of their characteristics. And most of the companies were in education and health services, manufacturing, trade, or leisure and hospitality. At baseline, we saw something very similar to our pilot, lots of room for improvement. And I've shown you here what their baseline scores were by the type of best practice. And ironically, the total overall implementation score was 38%, just like our pilot. At the end of our trial, overall implementation improved slightly in both intervention and control groups and did not improve largely as we had hoped in the intervention group. So we were a little disappointed that this didn't seem to work as well as in our pilot. And I'll go over some thoughts about why that was in a moment. When we broke it down by practice type and looked at change in best practice score that way, we did see that the intervention companies were somewhat more successful in a couple of specific areas. So in terms of policy scores, we did see, and this is a significant improvement in intervention work sites compared to control. This was largely driven by these work sites adopting healthy food policies. And then in communications, we actually saw a big increase in the intervention companies in terms of how much they communicated about health. And again, if you're asking how could that huge change be swallowed up into such a tiny change overall, it's because communication was one of 17 practices. So what did we learn from this? We learned that this group of employers actually is interested in wellness. We were able to recruit a pretty large group of employers and keep them with us all the way through. And they were excited about this and they wanted help. We found, though, that when you are not working with self-insured employers, it is so hard to change benefits. People who changed their benefits in this trial changed providers. Any change we saw in benefits was almost always due to that rather than due to our intervention. For them to go and sort of tweak their coverage of tobacco cessation was just not something they could do. Even though we had called a number of vendors up in advance and said we were doing this study and that we wanted to send employers to them, and some of them had said that was great, when push came to shove and employers called some of these vendors, their calls weren't always returned. A lot of your big workplace health promotion vendors, not all of them, but a lot of them, would much prefer working with very large employers. And time and money were also barriers. We did this trial between 2007 and 2009. We could have picked a worse time, I suppose, but we would have had to have really worked at this. And it's tempting to just say, you know, the economy. It would have worked except for the economy, but we asked about this at our six-month check-ins, and some people said that money was a problem and talked about it. Some people said, you know, we never had a budget for this anyway, so the economy really hasn't impacted us at all on this. But everybody talked about time. Our leads on this were human resource managers who weren't trained for this. This isn't in their job description. In our pilot, we'd had much larger sites with wellness coordinators. It was very difficult for folks to find the time, especially around things like starting up a program or changing a policy. We think communications was so comparatively successful because that solution set had newsletters, signage, and other things that they could just directly turn around and hand to their employees. It didn't take them any time. And my guess is that's why that this was the one thing that improved so much. In our future work, we are actually continuing to try to work with this group of employers and even going into smaller work sites with less than 100 workers. And we're just not trying on benefits with this group, partly because it seems so difficult and also because if health reform maintains intact, a lot of the things we were trying to do are going to happen anyway in terms of complete coverage of preventive care. We also are trying to develop readiness measures because we learned in this trial that interested does not equal ready. You can really want to do stuff around wellness in your workplace. And a few of our work sites were rock stars. This was all they needed, and they actually made big changes. But for the vast majority, that interest didn't necessarily mean they could implement what we suggested. We're working on trying to form wellness committees so that some of that burden is off the human resource manager. And we're also hoping that this will create champions across different levels within workplaces for this effort. And finally, we've learned that these workplaces need as much hands-on support as we can give them. We offered technical assistance monthly to everybody in the intervention group, and it was so hard for them that some of them didn't even know how to ask us for help at the end of the day. They didn't know how to take advantage of the assistance that was offered, and some of them wanted far more than we felt we could offer. This is the website. For ACS Workplace Solutions, the Cancer Society does offer this intervention nationwide. None of the cast of thousands on the first slide had any relationships to disclose. And this research was supported primarily by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The American Cancer Society also supported the pilot study that I mentioned briefly. Thank you very much.